Do you know what I saw? I'm sorry to change the subject. Not being rude about you, Stu, because you're there, so it's not like I'm talking about you behind your back. But I walked into the kitchen and guess what I saw?
Right, okay.
Tea bag, water, poured milk in with the tea bag in the water. And I was like,
no, hang on, you mean milk, right?
I mean, yeah, milk in the water with the tea bag bobbing about.
He does it.
Bobbing about in it. That. And I was like, oh my God, what's happening?
I don't put the milk in first, I put the hot water in first, wait till it's brewed. Give it a squidge with the back of the spoon.
Then you put the
then milk I put the milk in, check the colour, and then remove the tea bag. That's all right. No? We disagreeing on that.
Yeah.
Twinny, how do you make your cup of tea?
Boiling water over the tea bag. Yeah. Give it a good stir. Make sure it's got all the tea goodness out. Squeeze it against the cup. In the tea bag dispensary, then comes the milk. Give that another stir.
Yeah. See, I don't stir the tea bag, though. I just let it sit for a good couple of minutes.
Right.
But never put the milk in with the tea bag in the cup.
This is all going in, by the way. This is all going in.
This is all gold. I don't know if I can defend that. I'm against people putting in milk first. That's wrong.
Oh, God. I can't even get the words out. You've got the cup, the tea bag, and then somebody puts the milk in. And then puts the water. My mum does that, and I cannot and will not and shall not drink tea around her house. It's disgusting. It's disgusting. It's like piss water. It's horrible.
Let's go from piss water.
Yeah.
Welcome to the BAM Comic Podcast. We're running a little late tonight because we've all got our tea, we've all got our lovely lemon cake, so it must be time to record another BAM Podcast. Joining me to my left is the lovely Carly. Hello, Carly.
Hello, Twinny.
Hello, Twinny. I'm Neil Gortz, as you know, and then to my right is the equally lovely Stu. Hello, Stu.
Hello.
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 Hello. Tell me what's coming up in the show today, and don't dare say the words Deadpool, because I've had enough.
I've had enough.
You got a pen, I just need to cross out half our show.
Oh, shit.
No, I think we're going to definitely have a Deadpool moratorium. There's no Deadpool-related stuff today.
Yes, this is the BAFTA winner. BAFTA winner.
But what we are going to talk about today,
right?
Primarily, is going to be the London Super Comic-Con.
Okay. Which you guys went to.
Yeah, yep. Paid that visit recently. And we're also going to talk about a new comic that's kind of causing a bit of a stir called Faith from Valiant Entertainment.
All right.
And that's kind of it. We're going to...
I don't have a pun for Faith. I'm just going to do a bit of George Michael there. Yeah. See, 20. Baby. 20, we were totally on the same wavelength. All right. So we've got London Super Comic Con. We've got some Faith. What else you got for me?
There's a couple of bits of news we can talk about, if you'd like.
Sold the news. Let's go. Let's go on with the London Super Comic Con. Now, we're all seasoned Comic Con veterans here.
Yes.
I've been going to them for 6 years. Carly, I know you've been to a few. Still, you've been to a few with me.
I have.
As well as on your own.
I have. The ones I've done on my own are sort of the international ones last year.
You've done some of the big ones, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean, just through work, I managed to get to go over to New York last year.
So you did. In fact, you got to see it, actually. We were both there for work.
Yeah, so it's New York Comic Con back in, I want to say, October.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Sounds about right.
That was pretty impressive.
But how does London Super Comic Con measure up is what I'm going to ask you to.
It's not on the same scale.
No.
No.
It's purely dedicated towards comic books. So you're looking at around, I think they said about 30,000 attendance.
Yeah.
Which you compare it to something like MCM, which is comics, movies, TV.
And you'd be hard pushed to get a comic there. It's all props and toys and...
Yeah, I do like MCM, but it is kind of ironically named a Comic-Con when actually...
Yeah, it's not really.
Not really. But London Super Comic-Con is... But it goes back to the old school sort of comic shows I went to as a kid back in like the late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah.
So about 30,000 attendants.
Just started imagining the start of Grange Hill, you know, the comic book and the big flying sausage.
Yeah. That was my life. Yeah. That was my childhood.
Just completely illustrated with a big flying sausage.
Yeah.
And the fork.
There's a gag.
Yeah, niche. You thought the crow gags were niche last week, but we went full Grange Hill this time. So tell me what it was like. What was walking in there? Was there a sea of cosplayers again?
It was a bit bizarre that we turned up. Because so you know XL, the XL Centre?
I do.
The comic show was right at the end of the XL, so you had to go past the baby show.
Okay.
It was a baby shower show.
Yeah.
So there was lots of pregnant ladies and really despondent-looking men.
Yeah. And mothers-in-laws.
Yeah.
Angry-looking mother-in-laws, I noticed. Yeah. Barging past a few cosplayers that were straggling around by the entrance.
Did you get any... We should do a BAM comic baby shower. There's a niche.
Well, I'll get pregnant.
Right.
And we'll go from there.
Right. I mean, we could do it for, like, a listener.
Oh, right, yeah, sure. So if any listeners who are...
If you're expecting and you want us to throw you a baby shower...
We can do that.
Drop us a tweet.
I probably won't get involved.
Okay.
Well, you're not big on babies, are you?
No. I don't know how to answer that.
That's fair.
All right.
I think lovely. You
did. So, yeah,
moving past the babies.
Well, that's it. Well, you move past the babies at the XL and you end up walking past the classic car show.
Oh, bloody hell.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, you just got this smell of oil. Which is a really nice smell.
Yeah.
Compared to babies.
Compared to sweet sick. Yeah. I'd rather smell oil.
And then once you've got past that stench, you get to the pure smell of comics.
Oh, okay.
Which, while we're on the smelly tip, what was quite refreshing is it didn't actually smell.
Yeah, it didn't.
So
I'd like to think that if you ever owned a ship, it would be called the smelly tip.
Just the tip.
Oh, God.
Right, so it didn't smell. A Comic-Con that didn't smell. Well, that's one in the bank.
Definitely one in the bank. I think a lot of it was to do with the fact that it wasn't that heaving. We went on the Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
They obviously had one in the hall. It was quite spacious. It was quite nice to kind of wander around and not have to, like, barge people out of the way.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Cosplay was represented. I think because we went on the Sunday, we probably missed a lot of it.
Right.
I think, you know, I saw some photos and there were, you know, quite a lot of cosplayers on the Saturday.
Yeah.
There were some still cool ones down there. I think the one that really stuck in my mind was the Batman made out of balloons. A guy in a Batman
costume. That was brilliant.
Yeah.
Okay. I think I have seen a picture of this, actually.
That's really cool.
You could hear him squeaking down the aisle.
It was so funny. It was good.
Not sneaking up on anyone.
Exactly.
No.
Not stealth.
All right. Yeah. So there was cosplayers there.
Yeah, I think the big draw for comic fans is the fact they actually had some big-name comic creators internationally. Mm-hmm. So you had the likes of artist Alex Maleev, Marv Wolfman. So he's behind the new Teen Titans from the 80s.
Oh, okay.
That was good. And we had Mike Zeck, who was the artist from the Secret Wars series from the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And some more modern artists and writers. So you had like Frank Cho, Sarah Pacelli. And Humberto Ramos. Anyway. Yeah, so it's kind of... Yeah,
so you said that you were impressed.
I was impressed, yeah. It was kind of, I think, going to something like MCM, they have a really big small press presence, so you get loads of indie comic creators.
Yeah.
But you don't tend to get some of the bigger names being drawn there, because I think they're just competing with so many other different types of media.
Yeah.
This show had the small press independent aisles, but it also had some, you know, well-known established names you could come and meet.
Okay.
Get signings, get sketches.
I guess my big question, you being you, is how much money did you drop buying stuff that you don't need?
Oh, I didn't buy anything this time.
You definitely did.
I'm the worst person as well, because this is exactly what happened when we were at New York Comic-Con.
You're a shit friend, basically.
I don't think I am. It really depends what side of the fence you're on, because I know that your lovely wife, Ange, would say that I'm probably a shit friend because I let you just go crazy and nuts and do what you like. But I think you work hard for your money. You spend it on what you like.
There you go.
And actually, if you want to buy comics, you buy comics.
Mm, okay.
Yeah, because in New York, I did kind of drop a lot on some classic
80s. How much was it exactly?
It was dollars, isn't it? It's not real money.
Yeah, so come on now.
Was it triple figures, perchance?
Oh, yeah.
It was triple figures.
Yeah.
Was it?
Just in case your accountant's listening in, shall we not give the full...
No, I think... the problem I had was trying to get the suitcase coming back from New York. I was in...
What, that many?
It was, I was in the hotel reception having to, like, wedge packs of comic books in.
Did you check in, or was it hand luggage? Because you weren't there long.
It was checked in, which is just as well.
And you still struggled.
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
Yeah. They're good deals. But no, I did drop a bit on some early Captain Marvel with like early Thanos appearances. You know, they were going for a good price. It just seemed rude to leave them on the shelf. So
the man who was selling the comics couldn't get them off the shelf quick enough, though. I was watching that. I was like, yeah, your day's just coming.
Yeah, fished him in.
Yeah.
So how much did you spend on Sunday?
I think I probably spent it was 80 quid, I think, wasn't it?
I got these bad boys.
So you've got, like, second appearance of Thanos, and then you've got early Thanos. You've got Origin of Drax, you remember from Guardians of the Galaxy?
I'm aware with Davey Batista's Drax.
Yeah, so that's what he looked like in the original comics.
Ooh, not like Batista at all.
Nice. So he's got, like, a purple cloak going on and headgear. And there's obviously there's Thanos, so there you go.
There's your Thanos. I like that in one of the issues you've got, the original selling price was 7p.
Yep.
7p.
And how much did you pay for it, 40 quid?
That one was 40 quid, which is the Marvel 2-in-1 annual, issue 2, The Thing and Spider-Man take on Thanos, where the Avengers failed. These guys.
They stepped up.
That was 40 quid. I've been after that for
history.
A while.
Bit of history in your hands.
So I actually read that back in the early 80s as a reprint, black and white reprint. So okay. A bit of nostalgia there.
All right.
Bit of a midlife crisis.
Hey, nostalgia's a hell of a motivator. Yeah.
Well, I think it's fabulous. And if you want to spend your money on little comic books, you do that.
Thanks, friend. Yeah, so when the future Mrs. Taylor arrives, I'll have to...
Brace her
and also like just refer her to Carly. Just say, look, if you don't like it, you're not my mate Carly said it's all right.
Yeah, but don't ever go in the attic. Yeah, because you'll get a shot.
Don't enter the comic-torium. How much money did you spend, Carly?
Well, that's an interesting one.
Yeah. Well,
oh, okay.
I didn't spend any money.
Right.
But we had a little task that we set ourselves, didn't we? Can we go into that now?
We can go into that, yeah.
We set ourselves the task to go on a bit of a bargain hunt with £10 each. And we basically had to find the most ridiculous thing.
Okay.
Or the biggest, bestest bargain.
Yeah.
And what's really interesting is that Stu, being the comic book connoisseur that he is, we got completely different things.
Okay, because I mean,
we had half an hour, £10, run off, find the most obscure thing, meet back up at the entrance, and
compare and contrast.
Yeah,
okay.
Because I think it costs £20 to get through the door or for a day pass.
Ouch.
Yeah, but it depends what you go for. I mean, I think if you sort of go there casually to have a wander around, it's probably not worth your while. But if you're on a bit of mission, if there are some older comics you're looking to get, or if there are any particular artists and writers you want to meet, I think it's good value.
Okay,
I'd argue it's good value. But if you're just going to go there just for a brief nose, probably not really worth your while.
But that again, it's sort of because it is just comics. That's it. There's nothing else there. It's just comics. That I would imagine that. For those who were there, spending £20 probably isn't not that big of a deal because you know what you're going in there for. You know what you're looking for.
Well, that was the thing. You've set yourself a limit of £10, but I was going to say you would have been hard pushed to buy anything for £10.
Depends what you're looking for, though, Neil.
And that's it. True. And that's what the challenge was. So my argument was, can you go in there? Like we just from the point of view, if you're going to take, you've got a kid and you take them there, and are they going to end up spending a fortune or can they spend their pocket money? I don't know. What kids get pocket money these days? Is £10 too much?
No, they're probably on about 50 quid, aren't they?
Probably on more money than we are.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, shit.
Our children episode thus far.
I like kids.
He likes them.
Right.
So I've got friends who've got kids, and I don't know if they like the fact that I kind of, because I haven't got kids of my own yet, I kind of groom them. Can I say that?
No, you can't say that. You can't say that. So he just came out of Twinnie's nose. You absolutely cannot say that.
That's staying in.
And by that, I mean I brainwash them into getting into comics. I'm not talking like Jimmy Savile levels of grooming here.
Oh, my God, we're really going to have to stop now. Just think of something else.
So, yeah, Can we go on that? Can I explain that? Or if we just re-edit that out?
Let's offer no explanation.
Yeah.
Right, so you had £10 each.
Yes.
What did you end up with?
So...
Well, you go first.
So I have...
Because mine's ridiculous.
I have a surprising amount for £10.
Okay.
I guess that doesn't really count, but this guy, Bubba Loves, was doing... Basically, does he draws, hand draws... Actually, these aren't hand drawn, are they? He takes a photo of a bunny rabbit and kind of puts on an iconic character's...
Okay.
Face over it, so you have like a Batman rabbit, a Bane rabbit.
Okay, okay.
And the like.
Yeah.
He was doing those as prints, and he was also doing them as fridge magnets. But that was going to blow my budget, so I just got a postcard for free.
Well, there, okay, yeah. I'm not sure that's technically part of the rules, but fair enough.
Yeah, I've got, got another card.
Right.
An independent artist.
Right.
Massive face art. This guy called Rob Bowyer was doing these Groot big size cards. For a pound.
Blatantly a infringing, pound. Infringing yeah. Marvel's copyright there, but okay.
That's right. We can that slide.
Okay. To be fair to Rob...
seems like a bargain.
He has done a bloody good job. He's done a bloody good job. Nice piece of art.
Yeah,
loved a bit of art for a quid.
Yeah, loads of other stuff. And also got these... These are licensed.
Right.
Incredible Hulk vinyl stickers for a pound.
Not bad. Don't leave home without them. That'll set you back a couple of quid in the shops.
Here's where we start getting a bit nerdy now.
Right.
So I got a copy of New X-Men 150.
Yes,
which
it is.
Was a pound. And this features Wolverine and Jean Grey.
Yeah.
And basically Wolverine kills her at the end of it. And I think it was the last time Jean Grey appeared as Phoenix.
Okay.
But, you know, written by Grant Morrison, drawn by Phil Jimenez. £1 for that. It's a good issue.
Wowee.
It probably doesn't sound that impressive to the kids at home, but yeah, it is. Like, those big names for a quid. You'd be hard pushed to get in.
No, it's rolled £3 so far.
£3.
Let's knock it up to £4, and I've got a copy of Teen Confessions, number 57.
That's a Bobby Dazzler.
It's a Bobby Dazzler from August 1969.
Not as dodgy as it sounds. It's how would you describe it? A comic for teen girls, really.
With, a young lady on there in tears.
Very dodgy.
It's not like a blank DVD with teen confessions written on it, because that would sound...
I was very disappointed it wasn't, actually. So there you go. This has the heart-rending story called Goodbye, Darling, where our star on the cover says, let her have him. She's what he deserves.
Wow.
Wow. So, that is some absolute reading there.
Yeah. Emoosh riding high.
I reckon I'm going to get at least £1 worth of entertainment out of that.
I've got £1 entertainment out of the cover alone.
Exactly.
Right.
So now, what I spent the most money on was £5 on Roller Girls Sketchbook by Gary Erskine.
Oh, I know Gary Erskine.
I think you've seen this before, haven't you?
I have seen this before, and I have Gary Erskine prints up in my house,
because
I do like him.
Yeah, so this is a big A4, big weighty magazine-sized sketchbook of his like themed roller derby artwork, which he kindly signed for me as well.
Well done, Gary.
So I got him that, but also, the other reason I went there was I actually picked up a copy of what Marvel UK Comics Warheads from the early 90s.
Right.
Also drawn by Gary Erskine.
And you can tell that straight away.
Yeah. Got it for a pound, bought his sketchbook, asked him if he could kindly sign this copy of Warheads, which he did.
And he bloody did.
So for a pound, I've now got a signed copy of Warheads, issue 2.
In your face.
That takes about £10.
What a great haul for £10. And if you open up the very first... If you open up the cover of Warheads, the inside advert is for Honey, I Blew Up the Kid. So that tells
amazing.
You when that was circulation.
That's worth a pound on its own.
Worth a... Well, you did really well. I'm really impressed.
Did a lot better than me.
Well, I'll be the judge of that.
He did.
Right.
I went obscure.
Okay.
Just the weirdest things that I could find.
Okay.
I didn't get very far because I only got 2, but I do have £3 left over.
Well,
I ran out of time. That was the problem because one of them was a bit time consuming.
Uh-huh.
So I knew going into this that I didn't have the same breadth of knowledge when it comes to comic books as Stu. So I knew what he was going to do. I knew that he was going to go to one of the comic book stands and he was just going to rummage through and find some little gems like he's done.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that I wouldn't have been able to do that. I was even considering asking someone, "Ear, can you help me find the weirdest shit for like £10? But I thought, no. So
there's no rule against it. Fair play to your integrity. Okay.
But I thought, I'm going to do it on my own.
Right.
So I spent a good 15 minutes walking around thinking, oh God, what am I going to do? I'm going to fall right on my ass. But I did get a magnet. You kind of ruined it for me at the beginning there because it's not as funny now. But I saw these little magnets and they're cute little bunnies, but mine's a little bean bunny.
Oh, so the same artist.
Yeah.
Oh, you've done really well. It literally is a bunny with a bean mask.
He looks pretty intimidating.
He does.
It's really weird.
For a bunny rabbit, it's certainly obscure.
The one that I really wanted to get was the Hulk Hogan one.
Okay.
But then I thought, well, it's not really comics, is it? And he's a WWF wrestler.
Mm.
But it was really funny because literally it was just a rabbit with the Hulk Hogan moustache on, which I thought was really funny.
Gold.
Yeah. There you go.
Well done, Bubba Loves Bunny. Yeah,
we like that.
Yeah.
All right. But you said there was a second item.
Yes.
Right. This is what took the time, right?
Yeah, this really took time. I wasn't expecting it. So I did a little walk around and I found this guy, mm-hmm. this Spanish guy.
Right. Okay.
Who looked really mysterious.
Okay. This
and
is.
And I thought, oh.
A mysterious Spaniard.
Yeah. Okay.
Keep it in context, he was behind a table, actually, as an artist, rather than just wandering
around.
He's an
artist. Yeah.
Right.
And he caught my eye, because he had really long black hair.
Okay.
And he was very, very pale. And I thought, oh, I like the look of you. Let's see what's going on over there. And it turns out that he likes to draw people as demons. And I thought, that's something that I can get on board with.
Wasn't it called, the stand was called, Demonise Yourself?
Demonise Yourself.
Yeah.
Oh, Carly,
demonize
only you.
Yourself.
This
yeah.
is so you.
So I saw it and I thought, all right, well, I can do that. So I gave him some money. It was £5.
Right.
I tipped him £1. Does that count? It's £4, but I tipped him £1.
Yeah, because you just had pounds left over.
Yeah.
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 And so this is what he did.
He's made you into a demon.
But look at the sweet writing.
His sweet writing.
I know.
The description reads, "To Carly, the most beautiful demon in hell."
Yeah, in hell.
Yeah.
Fair play to him. Fair play. He got a fiver out of you.
What's
he
that did. Coming out your mouth?
That's a tongue.
That's Carly's tongue.
I do believe that it's possibly blood dripping off the tip of my tongue.
You've got horns and everything.
I've got horns. My hair's looking pretty good.
Yeah.
He's got your hair.
Are good. My eyes are looking pretty realistic.
He spelt beautiful wrong. But, you know.
Well, he was a mysterious Spaniard.
He was a mysterious Spaniard. English was not his strong point. I think he was getting a little bit annoyed with me because I didn't realise how long this was going to take. And I don't like my photo being taken
right.
at all. It's the worst thing for me to ever have done.
Well,
it
takes your soul, doesn't it? You know.
Yeah. And a lot of the time I don't show up in pictures.
Yeah.
My reflection doesn't show up.
Exactly. It's just embarrassing for everyone.
Embarrassing for everyone, and I don't like having to explain it. So I kind of forgot in my haste that this was going to be a lot longer than having your photo taken.
Funny that.
And I was stood there in the middle of this bloody comic book convention.
Mm.
Like an absolute fool, whilst this guy was drawing a picture of me, and it took about 25 minutes, and it was 25 minutes of torture. And I kept getting a bit fidgety and thinking, oh God, you know,
did you have to sit down or something?
No, I just stood there. And I was thinking, oh God, people are looking at me, and this is really embarrassing, and he's looking at me a lot, and I don't like it.
Mm.
And he kept telling me off for moving.
Right.
I got to admit, for 25 minutes,
I know.
He's done a good job.
Oh.
He's got your hair.
Yeah.
Eyebrow game is strong.
Yes. But then
it's certainly unique. I'll give you that. What are you going to do with this picture now?
He's not listening, don't worry.
Someone out there's going to want it, I'm sure.
We should save it.
You're going to, I was going to say maybe a back tattoo or...
Do you know what? I was thinking about that. I was thinking I could totally tattoo that on me somewhere. But I think it's really sweet to the most beautiful demon in hell.
Well, yeah.
I mean, that's probably one of the nicest things anyone's ever said to me, and that is worth a fiver.
Fair dues.
Just imagine, hey, baby, you look like the most beautiful demon in all of hell.
Yeah, and if someone said that to me, I'd be like, marry me.
Wow. Now
well,
you
not,
know,
maybe
listeners.
Marry me.
Now you know.
Can you cut that out? Don't marry me. But be my boyfriend.
There you go, listeners. The way to Carly's heart is to, well, not to draw her, at least not while she's aware of it.
Yeah, when I'm sleeping.
Draw Carly as she sleeps and describe her as a beautiful demon. And you're in.
Yeah.
You're in.
You've got at least a
Saturday at Nando's going for you.
You have to be a very unique type of a person to say these things, though, you see.
That's true. Dark hair helps. Dark hair and mysterious helps.
Dark hair, mysterious.
Dating
and
tips.
And a demon lover.
On the BAM podcast.
There you go.
Wow.
Well, anyway, so I think Stu won, I would say.
Well, that's up to the judge.
I almost have to flip a coin.
Really?
I almost have to flip a coin.
Well, we had different approaches, didn't we?
Very different.
You really did. You really did. Stu is very methodical.
Yep.
And I like his thinking of buying that copy of Warheads to get it signed. And I think Stu was, though this £10 was for you to find something obscure, Stu did serve his own self-interests. So by default...
Don't think I did. I got someone to draw a picture of me.
No, but that's fucking weird.
I know, it's so weird.
So weird. See, still want to keep his copy of Warheads. I don't know what you're going to do with it.
Like I said, there's going to be somebody out there that might want it.
Can you
there's
give it away?
There's got to be. There's someone for everyone.
Is there? I'm dead inside. I don't know anymore.
For the sake of argument, I'm going to declare the first heat of our strange...
BAM bargain hunt.
BAM bargain hunt. The first heat's going to have to go to Carly.
Yes.
What?
Yes. I didn't think that was going to happen.
Fuck it, I'm making the tea next time.
20 power.
Yeah, I know.
Might have been a twin
Look
conspiracy.
Look at that, I won.
What if I shared the birthday?
What's next?
Our movie night from the other day.
Have
you forgiven me yet?
Perhaps foreshadowing the fact that Stu would lose out on the BAM bargain hunt, Stu insisted that we watch the most recent cinematic offering of The Fantastic Four, a movie that has been universally panned. It's been bloody awful. And yet Stu insisted that we give up our Saturday night. To be fair, he did make a lovely... chicken and rice dish.
That's how he pulled us in, so we couldn't say no.
Yeah, there wasn't. We did
fat
get
and a jewel up.
We did get a free meal out of it, but at what cost?
Well, blah, blah, blah. I think it wasn't a good movie, but
right.
What was surprising to me was it wasn't it wasn't as nearly as bad as it'd been made out to be. I don't think. I wish I
could describe the look on Carly's face. I'll give you that.
I'll say for the first hour or so, I was like, this isn't too bad.
God, you're being generous.
Okay. I don't know. I would say first hour is probably fair, and like, it wasn't catastrophic. It wasn't my all-time favourite superhero film, but I'm like, all right, I see what you're doing.
At what point, for both of you, did it start going tits up?
Not until,
and
spoilers, but God knows, don't let us take the bullet for you. You don't watch this film yourself. When they go to fight Doctor Doom in the alternative dimension, right up until then they had me. And then when they also subtly went, we're stronger together if we work as a team to defeat Doctor Doom, I was done.
There is no victor, only Doom.
Yeah, that was the death knell. When he came out with that, I was done.
To me was like, it was a film of two, well, I wouldn't say two halves, it was a film that it felt like it had been done by someone else at that point.
Yeah.
And it probably has.
Yeah.
Like, there's talk of it getting numerous rewrites and being stitched together.
Yeah.
You can see that though, can't you? I think.
I think so. Well, the thing I kept going on about, which you found amusing, was the fact that Sue Storm's hair kept changing in between scenes.
Noticeably so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Noticeably so.
Which I believe is something to do with they had to do retakes and reshoots. The things I liked about it, I actually really like the body horror elements. Like, so when Reed discovers he's got stretchy limbs for the first time, he's literally turns around and finds his legs stretched underneath a piece of girder.
It's so stupid.
And the fact that Johnny Storm's on fire and he can't turn it off. The thing.
Ben Grimm, big pile of rocks.
Rubble Man. So that to me, I really like that. I had a kind of John Carpenter body horror elements of The Fly. I thought those bits were good, but they kind of just kind of touched on them and then left them to go somewhere else.
Mm.
They could have made it a lot darker. Actually, now that you're mentioning the bit when he's on fire, it's when they get back to this dimension and his body's just burning and he's not moving. That was pretty dark.
That was dark. I was surprised how dark it got. Like when they're watching the security footage, the military end up using them for a year to get what they can, and they end up sending Grimm on special operations, and like it notes like how many people he's literally killed.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh Christ, I wasn't expecting that.
But they could have really, I don't know, it's catering to sort of maybe our tastes or my taste. My taste. They could have got a lot darker, but it would have been a bit too adult at that point. But
yeah, but I think it's very schizophrenic. I didn't really get the feel of what tone they were trying to set anyway. With the Fantastic Four in the comics, if it wasn't for the Fantastic Four, there wouldn't have been the modern day Marvel Universe. That was the first comic that Stan Lee and Kirby collaborated upon as part of this new superhero universe. The fact they're a family, all those elements, that kind of rivalry between Ben Grimm and Johnny Storm, which made the series a success, the high concept sci-fi stuff, all of that was absent from the movie, which kind of left it, it was less than fantastic. It was just very dour and,
Less than Fantastic Four.
Burn. The last 20 minutes were just an absolute car crash.
Yeah.
And I think it must have been stitched together from several scripts and movies. Just painful.
Yeah.
Painful.
Up until then,
it just about got away with being all right.
I don't know though, because it lost me a lot earlier than that. Because I think when the accident happened and they realised that, when he realises that he's got his limbs are all stretchy and everything. I just thought, oh, Christ's sake.
Is that when you were done?
I don't know, because that's the moment that you're waiting for, isn't it?
Yeah. Did you actually care about any of the characters at any time?
Couldn't have given less of a shit.
Yeah.
It was quite bad, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
No, I think the problem with Mr. Fantastic is his abilities do look a bit silly. To be fair, they didn't really show much of it. There's the scene when he's got the powers. Mm-hmm. There's a scene when he's on the operating table and he's all stretched out.
Fight scene.
And there's a very brief fight scene with the military, but it looked it looked ridiculous.
Yeah, it was silly.
Yeah, and then there's a fight at the end, and it's his powers. I think out of all four of them, he's probably got like less than a minute screen time in action, because I think it just looks crap.
Yeah, it doesn't look good.
Yeah.
Do you, right, given we've endured this, do you want another Fantastic Four movie either? I don't think they're going to bring back the same cast, are they?
I think the property's now toxic.
Right.
We've had three attempts.
Yeah.
Roger Corman's one from the early 90s.
Yeah.
Unofficial, it was never officially released, but we've seen it.
God, we have. Christ.
And then we have the two movies.
I endured this one, because it can possibly be as bad.
And it wasn't. And then we had the two movies with Chris Evans, Jessica Alba, and co. The first one was alright. It was alright. Second one with the Silver Surfer was really bad. Really, really bad.
It's just toxic.
Yeah. But I think it's burnt now. I mean, people were kind of hoping that means Fox will give up the property and give it back to Marvel. But I think from a movie going public point of view, it's just that no interest.
Yeah, it's done now.
I don't think Marvel even bother making one. They probably, if they had it back, they would just probably sit on it.
They don't really need it. I mean, I think if they actually got it back, they could probably have the characters as supporting characters in other movies.
Mm.
But I think for a long time, there's no interest in it. I think if they were supporting characters in other Marvel Studios movies and started getting a bit of an interest in the characters, they probably would do.
Yeah.
So I think The Incredible Hulk didn't do that well at the box office.
No.
But now,
If you said an Incredible Hulk movie was coming.
Yeah, people are into it, because I think the performance that Ruffalo had in the Avengers movies has got people excited about the character again.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I've got no interest in seeing a Fantastic Four movie.
Well, thanks for making us endure that, Stu.
But it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. I'm going to stand by that. It absolutely tanked at the end, but I think up until that point, it had some good stuff. It's shit. I just don't think it deserves. But I don't think it deserves the absolute drubbing. I have seen far worse movies, comic book movies. You know, I sat through The Spirit. I had to sit through the entirety of that. And that is terrible.
Yeah,
that's one of the worst comic book movies ever made. I think Batman and Robin is absolutely shocking.
I love it though.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm now thinking, would I rather watch that all the way through?
Let's not start a shit.
You could do
Saturday
Would You Club. Rather?
Oh. Fuck, Mary, kill, Batman, Robin, fantastic. Yeah, let's not. Let's
well, is
not.
That, would you say The Fantastic Four is the worst comic book movie you've seen?
No. Yeah. Genuinely wasn't the worst. I mean, it was just as schizophrenic as the reviews. That's the problem. It was all over the place.
It was bad. No, I'm just actually trying to, I'm sitting here trying to think. I know I've seen worse comic book based movies, but I just can't think what. But I know I've seen worse. It wasn't the worst. But the way I look at it is that I'm a 25-year-old woman. Sorry, I almost forgot my age then.
All right, Pinocchio.
And I've got other things to do rather than put myself through watching that rubbish.
Fair play.
I could knit something.
I'd love to see you knit.
I can knit.
Can you actually knit?
No, I can.
We're going to have a Christmas giveaway. Bam.
I could do you a scarf. I mean,
bam, scarf.
That's pretty much as far as it goes. But I could do you a scarf.
There you go. So don't go watch The Fantastic Four when it's out on Blu-ray. Just knit.
I think it's already out.
Just keep walking. Keep walking past the F section of HMV and just take up knitting instead.
But if you want to have a laugh with your mates and bitch about a film for 2 hours, watch it.
Just don't pay for it.
Just don't pay for it.
Don't pay for it.
Let Stu pay for it like we did.
There was a discussion about it. Are you sure you want to pay for this film? Oh, yeah. All right, then.
Glutton for punishment.
That's it. That's £5 of my life I won't get back.
Yeah.
If only you'd won that bad comic
account. Yeah, have a picture of me as a demon. There's your £5 back.
Usable in any local shop. Do you take pounds, euros and pictures of demonic Carlys? Bear in mind, she is the most beautiful demon in hell.
Yeah. That's legal tender.
Right. Legal tender. Yep. All right, hit me. What's next?
Well, I don't know. I saw on a movie tip, very, very briefly.
Bloody comic book movies.
So they announced that the Batman versus V Superman is going to be over 2.5 hours long.
Ooh!
151 minutes, they've said. But it's not the longest running superhero movie to date. Any ideas on what that might be?
I know what it is, so I can't answer.
Well, okay.
The longest running superhero movie. Hmm. No, I don't actually know.
Half of the clue is in the title of Batman.
Long Man.
Superman.
No, I don't remember a Superman movie being that long either.
No, it's The Dark Knight Snoozes, Rises. So.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that the longest one?
Yeah, that is 164. Avengers Age of Ultron's 142 minutes.
I felt that. I didn't feel The Dark Knight Rises.
You had more time for it than I did, I think. Even with Bane. I thought Tom Hardy was fantastic in that.
I just like a bit of Dark Knight Rises, I won't lie.
I was in the cinema when people cried at the end of The Dark Knight Rises. Everyone around us cried.
Wow.
Yeah. I guess maybe it's a joint experience, you know.
Okay.
Maybe you've got to experience it. Yeah.
No, it didn't have the same impact on me.
Hmm.
So I wonder how we're going to feel if we see Batman v Superman. Are we going to feel every one of those 151 minutes?
Well, we're going over something that we've spoken about for about 3 weeks now.
We can move
on. I just hope that that what they've shown in the trailers isn't the best bits of the film.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it's going to be a really long 2.5 hours.
Well, we've only seen about 4 minutes of the film, so that's, you know.
Yeah, but, you know, sometimes they do that. 147 minutes of awesome. They just shoot their load too quickly,
I mean, you're gonna want to watch, like, Clark Kent, Bruce Wayne interact. I could watch that for a solid hour of
just,
I know who you are, but I'm not going to say
bit
here.
Of banter between
you.
Yeah.
Bit of Brucey Bantz.
Well, like that, yeah. And so going back to what we said last time, when I thought that the rumours that were going to be there in a can for Justice League, apparently they've come out now and said, no, we're definitely doing it. We'll start filming April 11th. Justice League Part 1. We're doing it. Wait and see.
Right, that's that then.
I think it's going to turn out to be everyone's going to be in this. Everyone.
Yeah.
Everyone. Mm-hmm. People you weren't expecting. There was talk of Batgirl being spotted on set.
That's confirmed.
Is it confirmed?
Well, Batgirl. No, is it Jenna Malone? It's been confirmed as playing Barbara Gordon. Mm. Whether she will be in spandex, we don't know. But yeah.
Christ. As long as I get my Aquaman, that's all I care about.
We will.
I think it's going to be good. I think it will be.
Are we all going to go and see it together?
Change my pin. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
you'll be back in the States, won't you?
When's it out?
End of March.
We'll fire up the Skype when we're in the cinema.
Yeah.
No one will mind. That'd be fine.
You're allowed to do that, right?
Yeah.
It's America. You can do what the hell you like.
Yeah. If you can bring guns into a cinema, you can bring mobile phones.
If Donald Trump can run for president, I can bring Skype into a cinema theater.
There you go.
There you go. Heard it here first.
Yeah, we'll let you know what we think. Next!
Comic books. Should we talk about comics?
Oh, bloody comics. I'm sick of comics.
So,
I can't help but notice you've got a copy of Faith there, Stewie.
I do. I have a copy of Faith issue 1, which was a lot harder to find than you think. So this is from Valiant.
Yeah.
Doing the rounds recently because it's had a lot of mainstream media buzz.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that is to do with the fact that Faith, the main character,
can't get it out of your head.
Yeah. Is a plus size superheroine, I guess they're kind of referring to.
There's no way around it.
Yeah. Which,
I don't, did they bill it initially?
No.
Because she's from a run of something, right?
Yeah, so she's appeared in Valiant Comics since about 2012, I believe.
Okay.
And she was a member of a super team.
Right.
This is her first solo outing, so it's 4 issues.
Okay.
Written by Jodie Houser with artist Francis Portella. Yeah, it's good. It's kind of, it's not exactly, you know, treading new ground as far as story goes. It's a kind of,
It's an easy read.
Off the bat, the art is lovely.
Yeah,
it's
really
nice.
So, Faith Herbert
and
her superheroine identity, Zephyr, they relocate to LA following the fact she's just left.
Zephyr.
Apparently her friend's called a Zeppelin.
Can call a plus-size person be blimpy.
I know. It's a bit.
And yet
like,
they do.
Yeah, they do.
She's owning it. She's made a decision to own it. Fair play.
So Faith Herbert's relocated to LA.
Yeah.
After leaving her super team and ditching her boyfriend.
Right.
So in a
fair play to her.
Yeah. In a secret identity, she works for basically the equivalent of BuzzFeed, doing the gossip columns. And by night, she takes to the skies because she can fly.
And rescues puppy dogs,
which was quite a fun little incident.
Because even she in the comic kind of refers to it as being, I'm rescuing puppies.
Yeah.
You know?
That's not what I tend to do. So, I mean, it's a fair bit of exposition. Mostly it's narrated from her point of view.
Mm-hmm.
But I found it quite zippy, you know, the dialogue was quite natural. You know, I thought this is the first Valiant comic I've read since they relaunched.
Right.
But I didn't really feel that I was missing out. I made sense of what was going on. Made sense to the characters. Mm. Some of the characters she works with in this BuzzFeed place are a bit cliche, but it kind of made me feel a bit like a comic version of the current Supergirl TV series.
That was going to be my question to you, is who is this aimed at? That's the vibe that I got. I got teen, tween girls.
I wouldn't go as far as tween.
Okay.
Would you? I
don't know. I mean, it's
like I love diversity in comics. Like, there's nothing I find more boring than male superhero, anguished white guy. So any diversity is great.
Mm.
Is great. And as a plus size gentleman, I can get behind this. But what I will say is that I've skimmed through it. Her size does not appear to be the focus of it.
It isn't.
Which
at
is
all.
The thing
it's
I was concerned.
Even mentioned.
So the media's grabbed a hold of it and been like, plus-sized superheroine, but that's not what it's about at all. She's just having her adventures. My worry is that I almost don't want it to be addressed. I think if they address it, it becomes a shark-jumping moment.
I don't think they're going to do that. That's the one thing, when I sat down to read it, I was kind of wondering if they're going to, you know, have that as a stick to bang.
Mm.
But they absolutely don't. And even in the editorial at the back, they'd never mention it once.
Yeah.
The whole idea of the character is she's supposed to be someone who is normal.
Mm.
So that you're more able to identify with her. And I think there are a lot of, I imagine, female readers who
know more than ever.
And one thing also we haven't mentioned is her character is a massive geek.
Yeah.
So she's into, you know, the
sci-fi. She's
into comics, into games.
What a nerd.
So she's kind of like a nerd who's become a superhero. So I think a lot of people would identify with that. A lot of the audience would identify with that. And they don't make a point of the fact that she's plus size. And I think that's a good thing. I think it ends up being a bit contrived and a bit forced if they did that. So I was quite surprised. I kind of went in expecting them to have an agenda, and they haven't. They just, the only agenda they've got is to put together an entertaining superhero comic, which I think they've done.
I will certainly stick with it for the four issues and see where it goes.
Yeah, I hope she gets like good, strong storylines, and because she's a cool character.
So you warm to it?
Yeah, pretty much.
Straight away, really.
Yeah. I mean, even though, I'd say they had a bit of heavy exposition towards the beginning, but I've certainly read worse comics when it comes to that. Mm. I mean, for readers like myself, without any prior knowledge, they have to have a little bit.
Yeah.
But all things considered, I think they've done a really, really good job. And I wouldn't surprise me if it gets picked up for an ongoing series, considering how well it's doing so far already.
Mm.
And I'd say deservedly so. It's quite refreshing.
I'd be genuinely curious to revisit it at the end of the four and see where it's gone. All for it.
Yeah.
All for it. My big things to read just now are like Squirrel Girl. I didn't take to the relaunched Miss Marvel.
No, I just tried
wasn't
that yet.
Wasn't for me. Whereas Squirrel Girl I absolutely loved. I really enjoyed the new 52 Wonder Woman. So I'm into me strong female leads. Yeah, I want to come back at four, as long as they don't make the size a thing. When it's like we were saying the other week, how Bitch Planet's got the tagline of Orange is the New Black in space.
Yeah.
Like, it's people are just being drawn to Faith at the moment for this curiosity.
Which so, I'm okay with. I think I'm okay with that. She's more than that. She's more than just her size.
Well, that's the thing. Like, it's such a complex issue, and you have to be really careful when you're voicing any kind of an opinion on it.
Sure. For the record of anyone listening, it doesn't know. I'm a big guy.
We're a plethora of different shapes and sizes.
We are on this podcast.
Just sort of repeating what Stu said, I do really like the fact that they haven't paid any kind of attention to the fact that she is a fuller figured lady.
Mm.
And still, that's the draw to that. Because quite honestly, what I read was easy to read and it was nice and the writing's good, the artwork's lovely. But after the first episode, there's not really anything in it that's keeping me going. It's only to see where they push the character. And am I only interested because she is not fitting into what you normally would expect from a comic book heroine? It is, to be totally honest. I don't want them to mention it, but I just want to see what they're going to do with her and give her the respect that she deserves.
I'd be curious, especially if anyone listening has read it or has an opinion. Tweet us your thoughts.
It's interesting. But I'm all up for diversity, like you said. There's nothing more boring than seeing a skinny white girl as a super heroine or hero or whatever. I just find it really dull. Well,
we've got enough of those, haven't we? We don't need any more.
No, just not do that anymore. It's boring as hell. I feel like it doesn't really cater to everybody that reads comic books. We're not all white and skinny and blonde.
Well, I think there was a bit of a kickoff with, again, it's the internet, isn't it? There's always going to be dissenting voices. I think there were a few dissenting voices about Faith and seeing it as like an agenda and seeing it as a kind of, a social justice mission. But really,
What's wrong with that anyway?
Well, what's wrong with it? And also, it doesn't really matter because, they're not going to change Wonder Woman to a plus-size model. You know, we've got a plethora of those kind of Amazonian characters, and they're never going to change. They're always going to be there for you. So if you don't like what they're doing with Faith, you're under no obligation to read it. So I don't see why there's an issue because if you have that as well.
Yeah, I suppose the same thing. If you're just getting burnt out, then try something a bit different. That's what we said last week. I mean, it's all about getting into the mainstream comics and then branching out to something that appeals to you.
I mean, if they end up doing, like I mentioned, if they end up doing like Wonder Woman turning into a plus size, then you could say that stunt I would be annoyed by it. I'd just be raising my eyebrows and think, well, that's just purely to get some headlines. This isn't like that. They haven't done that approach. This character's been around for years and she's always been like that. And she's just got her own series now. And the media have obviously seen that and gone, well, hang on, she doesn't fit the archetypal image. And they've done it. And I'm sure Valiant are well aware of that and are quite happy to see it.
Well, they picked her for a reason before.
But they haven't. Narratively, they haven't spoken about that, and also editorially, they're not taking that approach. They see her as a way of being a gateway for a whole new audience.
Well, that's the thing, is that we spoke about this last week, that there is still exclusivity when it comes to the comic book world, I think. Mm. And we all know that I'm the one out of the three of us that really doesn't live and breathe comic books the way that a certain somebody does. but that's not a problem. It just means that when I go to a comic book shop, I'm looking for something completely different. And half the time, I don't even know what it is. I just go in there hoping that something jumps out at me. And to be totally honest, if I walked into a comic book store and I didn't know anything about Faith, and I saw her and some skinny superhero that I would
drawn.
Go for Faith, because I think, it's more identifiable. And yeah,
I suppose it is telling. Like, I suppose one of the big runaway successes has been like Saga, where the protagonists and all the characters in that, to a lesser extent, are through the looking glass and really weird and wonderful. I mean, even going into Waterston's the other week, they had a comic section just set up for female readers. And it's to a lesser extent, they had Spider-Gwen,
right?
Which, you know, good twist on the old classic. Harley Quinn, who's, you know...
Stable.
She's different, isn't she? If she was part of your girl gang, she would certainly stick out.
Well, she's still popular,
she's far more complex than, like, a standard female reader. And the other one, obviously, was, like, Rat Queens, which is really diverse in its
cast. That's really good.
So, yeah, the more diversity, the better, please. Let's see where Faith goes after four issues.
Yep. There you go, Valiant. You heard it here first.
Right, what else have we got?
Well, that's kind of it. And there's a few other things I wanted to sort of say, but you were like, you poo-pooed.
What were they?
Well, so apparently Stan Lee's announced that he's doing his last Canadian public appearance at the Fan Expo in Toronto in the year. So his last European appearance was a couple of years ago.
Yeah, he's been and gone.
Yeah, London Film and Comic Con.
93.
But he's 93.
Just enjoy your twilight.
He looks good for a 93-year-old, though.
He does.
Because actually saying that, what really shocked me was he was in LA on the weekend at a Barnes & Noble book signing with Frank Miller to celebrate the 30th anniversary of The Dark Knight Returns.
Hmm.
Have you seen what Frank Miller looks like these days?
A bit haggard.
A bit.
Yeah. He always does this. He always presses a little button and then we have to worry whether he stopped recording. All right, so...
Hang on.
Saw's Frank, but Stan's got you in the looking sprightly factor.
So how do you reckon Frank looks like? How do you reckon he looks like?
Yeah, it's almost swapped over, isn't it?
Yeah, he's 57.
Is Frank Miller ill?
He looks ill.
I was worrying. But yeah, Stan Lee's still going.
Fair play.
Not in Canada.
Not in Canada, not in Europe.
Sorry, Canadians.
Just enjoy your twilight. Please, Stan. Please.
You ever seen Stan Lee?
No, not personally.
I saw him probably about 91, 92. He was at the UK Comic Art Convention.
Right.
It's one of the few times I've ever been, I'd say, starstruck.
Well, Stu, hang on a minute. This is not the first time that you've got starstruck, because I've witnessed it with my own eyes and had to take a picture.
Oh, yeah. This was...
It's like you were saying that, and I was thinking, that doesn't seem right to me somehow.
It's true. I said there's only a few times I've been starstruck.
Well, okay.
One of the other times, you happened to be with me.
Yeah.
And that was in...
Who was this?
It's not comic related.
It's not. Go on.
Well, you can tell the story if you want.
Tell me it was a porn star.
No, well, nearly.
So it was in Vegas.
Right.
On holiday.
Yeah.
Because Carly was living out there.
Yeah.
So went out to meet Carly. Caesar's Palace, I think it was, wasn't it? We were going around Caesar's Palace. Wasn't it because we were going to go to the pool? We couldn't get it. We had to pay to get in there. And we were going to go back. And I opened the door to go back into the hotel. And this person walked right past me. And I was a bit shocked. At which point I turned around to Carly and said, look, I'm going to have to go back. That's Vince Neil from Motley Crue.
It really was him.
I went back out. I thought, I've got to go and say hello to him. Because my brother's a massive fan of, like, the hair metal ear.
Sure.
So I thought, I need to do it for my brother, which is bullshit. I need to do it for me. So I went up to him.
Should have seen it.
Yeah, I said, excuse me, Mr. Neil. Would you mind?
Mr. Neil.
Oh, God.
In my mind, it wasn't too bad. Right. I'd said, do you mind if I get a photograph? And I thought he was like totally cool. Was like, yeah, sure. And he's with there with his wife, who, you know, looked very glamorous. For me, I'd say it was a few seconds of his time. He seemed really happy to meet a fan.
For me, it felt like it was about half an hour.
Yeah,
it was horrible.
So Carly kindly took a photograph, and it was only when I looked at the photo afterwards that it was a whole different story.
Did he not look pleased to see you?
Stu looked like a legit stan.
Wow.
Yeah. Proper stalker.
Yeah.
He couldn't have looked any more uncomfortable if he tried. He had this kind of like, he was kind of leaning towards me to get the photo, but his body was going, like, his lower half was going the other way, and his kind of head was turning around going, yeah, just take the photo, just fuck off.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't believe in body language, look at that photo.
Wow.
And tell me that it's not real.
So, yeah. Stanley wasn't like that at all. I'm pretty convinced.
So, well, he said 70-odd years of it, so... Yeah. A bit of a head start.
Vince Neil's hair was looking pretty, pretty glamorous fly. There, wasn't
better
it?
Better than Stan Lee's.
Pretty fly. There you go.
There we go. All right.
We're done.
Well.
On that note.
Well, that brings us to the end of another BAM comic podcast. Please remember to like and leave us a review on iTunes, because it helps us get right to the top. We were there for a millisecond. We're touching the tip of the top of the comic podcasts. There's nothing wrong with touching what?
But it's just, this is probably like the third...
mention of touching the tip.
A lot of tip touching. Comments have been made.
I don't understand. What's the problem with that?
That could be like on a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Imagine that. Touch the tip, BAM comic podcast. Or just the tip. That could be our news section. Just the tip. Anyway, thanks for listening. Yeah, tell all your friends about us and just shout BAM in the street. You can find me on Twitter at Neil Gortz, and where can they find you, Stu?
You can find me under Stunami on Twitter.
What about you, Carly?
You can do a little tweet to old Mox on Carly Moxie Kim.
There you go.
Very sultry. And you can find us all under the BAM Comics Cast on Twitter as well.
Yeah, you probably already knew that though, right? Right, you're following us, right? Right.
We're up to 75 followers.
75 of you.
75?
Yeah. Yes. Triple figures this time next year.
Yeah. We'll be millionaires.
Bloody hell. All right. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Bye.
That holiday that he came to visit me on,
right?
That was the one where you nearly killed me. Well, you didn't nearly kill me.
Well, I did. I think we always killed each other. It was one of those things where you just realised you'd lost a friend.
Oh wow!
Where was it? Desert hike, wasn't it?
A desert hike.
Oh yeah. I do know this one. Yeah.